Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hello and welcome to the show. We are going to be talking about questions to live by today, and I'm going to be sharing with you just some ways to explore the way that the questions that you ask yourself affect the way that you experience the world. If you want to get in and talk to me about the questions that you live by, and also just any aspect of how to get more of what you want in your own life, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. Those of you listening outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And I want to do something I've never done before because I couldn't. I'm going to promo my book because it's just become available on Amazon.co.uk. And we actually premiered at number 9 in the hot pre-orders. And if you want to pre-order a copy of You Can Have What You Want, just go to my website, which is geniuscatalyst.com. When you get to the front page, there'll be a picture of the book. You click on the picture of the book, and it'll take you to a page where you can actually read the introduction. And then if you order the book via Amazon, you pre-order it, and you send me your receipt, there's an email address there, orders@geniuscatalyst.com. We'll actually send you out a PDF by email of the first chapter so that you can get started while you wait for the book to actually arrive. I'm going to go to the phones in just a couple minutes, so if you're on the line, please do hang on. I just want to set the table a little bit. There's a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke, which is, "Have patience with everything that remains unsolved in your heart. Try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books written in a foreign language. Do not now look for the answers. They cannot now be given to you because you could not live them. It is a question of experiencing everything. At present, you need to live the question. Perhaps you will gradually, without even noticing it, find yourself experiencing the answer." So we're going to be talking about all aspects of questions, and let's begin by talking to Kale in Connecticut. Is it Kale or Kaylee?
It's Kale.
Hello, Kale. What can I do for you today?
I'm surprised I actually got through. I usually don't get through.
Well, there you go. Welcome. Today is your day.
It is.
So what's your question? What can I do for you? What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know. Questions are a good thing. I just now have a lot of free time, and I was thinking I could possibly go back to school to finish my degree, but I'm not really sure what to do. My company will pay for it, but it's a question of, do I do it because it's free, or, you know, I'm just kind of stuck with a lot of questions. I'd like to advance my career, but I'm not quite sure where to go. But I don't want to sit around and do nothing.
Okay, so one thing, and again, because we're talking about questions today, I'll come at it from that angle.
Yep.
Is the first thing that I hear in there is it's almost like there's a virtual question behind all the questions of, what should I do?
Yep.
Or what would the right thing to do be? Is that which one of those is more the question you're asking in the back of your mind?
Well, I kind of beat myself up because I don't have my degree. So I always like, should I get my degree? The right thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Did the screener let you on without having a degree? Normally, we only take people who have degrees. Well, all right. You're on, so we'll stick with it. But,
okay.
But so what is the question in the back of your head? Is it, there's a question implied there, but almost, am I good enough? Do I need more to sell myself? You know, if there was one question that guided your behavior and the way that that sort of fueled your thinking in the area of advancing your career, what is that question?
I think it really should be, what do I enjoy doing?
Well, it's great because the way you just answered that was wonderful. You just said, I think it should be, what do I enjoy doing? So again, even that is an answer to the question, what should I do? And so the thing about the question, what should I do? And it's a very common question that people have. Is there's an implication in there that there's a right answer.
That's true.
And the problem with that is, even if in some cosmic sense there was a right answer, there's no way to ever really know. How are you going to know if you're doing it right?
Until you do something, yeah.
Until you do something. So absolutely, a great question to play with instead. So if, for example, just for a moment, pretend that the most important question that you could ask is, what would I love to do?
Yeah.
If you just start asking yourself that, what are some of the first things that come up when you start asking yourself, what would I love to do?
Well, I'd actually love to just have the free time. I'd love to give myself the permission to just do whatever felt right when I came to it.
Okay, so what, if anything, are you concerned might happen if you gave yourself that permission right now?
I don't know, found that I'd become a big lazy slob.
Well, you already don't have a degree. You already suck. I mean, is that any worse? No, do you believe that? Do you think that's what would really happen?
That I'd become...
That you become this big lazy slob?
Yeah, that I would just, I don't know, not do anything with myself at all. Just watch TV all day and just look back at my life and think, what did I do? Oh,
but again, if the question that you're asking yourself is, what would I love to do? Do you think the answer is going to be sit and watch TV and get fat?
Oh, that's true. Well, if it is, then I'd be happy.
Well, exactly. Now, again, my experience tells me that isn't going to be the question.
That's true.
But so that's your homework. Your question to live by this week is, what would I love to do? And just notice, and you can almost take it area by area, how does that affect the way that I think about work?
Yeah.
How does that affect the way that I think about my relationship? How does that affect the way that I think about money?
Well, and it's funny, my life has kind of flowed in a positive direction when I just go with the flow, doing what I enjoy. Like, I've got this job I have now, but I love learning about computers, and I just learn on the job, and I got to a good job because I've, just love figuring out computers.
Well, and I'll absolutely tell you, it is the secret of living an inspired life. It's very simple. Is to wake up each morning and go, what would I love to do today, and do it.
I think I was more calling to get permission to say that.
You now have? Okay, hang on. Let me put my official permission voice on. You now have permission.
You think, oh, I should do this. What should I do? I mean, that's almost
Absolutely. So absolutely, when you hear yourself asking that question, what should I do, just stop, take a deep breath, and go, no. What would I love to do?
Okay.
And even if you can't always answer the question, live the question.
Yep.
And see where that takes you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Fantastic, Kale. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. If you want to get in, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. We are going to go to Kelly in Wisconsin. Kelly, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well.
Good. Well, a lot like Gail, I went through and decided that I was not going to get anywhere in life unless I got a degree. So I went and got my associates, and right now I'm working on my bachelor's, but I have no motivation to continue, and I keep getting jobs that I end up getting laid off from. And so I find myself, okay, here I am again, unemployed. I'm trying to finish school, but I'm on academic probation because I just don't care. And in the last 30 days that I've been off work, I've gained 10 pounds, and I'm...
So let me ask you this, Kelly. What question?
How do I grab hold of myself and say, enough already, and really move forward? I mean, it's like I've been working in metaphysical realm for 20 years, and at 40, it's like, okay, I want some security.
It sounds like that you're asking yourself this question in the back of your head: what's wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Why isn't it working?
Right.
Okay. See, and again, the thing is, when you start to notice the questions you're asking yourself, that's why you keep finding out what's wrong and what's not working, is because those are the questions that you're asking yourself. So they send your mind and your life in this direction of, well, let's see, let's find, it's like telling your brain, okay, find more of what's wrong and come up with more explanations for it for me. When in fact, what you want from what you've said is, you want a sense of direction, you want a sense of maybe joy or inspiration, you want to be moving forward, you want some money. Does that does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want a relationship, I want to be secure and happy.
So if you tried on this question, just try it on right now, how can I have more of what I want? What are some of the first things that come up when you just start to ask yourself that question? How can I have more of what I want?
I'm trying to find the right word for this, and I know it's radio, so finding words is important.
I don't know if we're on a delay. Yeah, thanks.
But I think how to have more of what I want is by starting to just do things, whether that's just starting to get up and exercise, starting to just work on my schoolwork, I'm considering going back into a real estate career, which I love, but there's no security there. There's no safety net, no benefits and things like that.
Okay, so,
I'm not moving forward at all.
So here's your virtual question for the week. Here's your question to live by this week, is when you hear yourself getting caught up in a what's wrong, why am I not doing this, what's going to happen, just stop, interrupt, take that deep breath, and just ask yourself, how can I have more of what I want? And I just want you to live with that question. And if you go to geniuscatalyst.com on the forums, you can actually get in touch with me and let me know what is that question bringing up for you. If you're on hold right now, we will get to you. The numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's 1-866-254-1579. And I'll talk to you after the break.
1, 2, 3, hit it! Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hello, hello, hello. If you want to get in and ask some questions about the questions that you live by and just figure out how you can get more of what you want in health, money, career, spirituality, whatever area of relationships you want to explore, the numbers to call, toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. That's 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. I want to talk a little bit more about this notion of living a question. If there was a question behind the question you want to ask yourself is, if there was one question which guided all my behavior in this area of my life, whether that's money or my health or my relationships, what would the question be? For example, let's imagine that you're looking for someone to share your life with, okay? How different would that search be if it was guided by one of these three questions? So I want you in your imagination right now, I want you to imagine that the question that you're asking yourself in your mind is, will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find the one? Will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find the one? Will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find the one? And imagine looking into the world, and that's the question that's running through your head. For some of you, that's going to be very easy to imagine. For some of you, that's going to be different. But just notice, think about, when you meet somebody new, if the question in your head is, will I ever meet the one? Is this my soulmate? Will I ever meet my soulmate? What does that predispose you to do? For example, I mean, there's an implication there, first off, that there is a one and a soulmate, and that you may or may not ever find them, and that it's very important to find them. And what's probably going to happen, if you keep asking yourself, will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find the one? Is you're probably going to evaluate any potential relationship against whatever your criteria for soulmate are. And you're going to reject anyone who's unsuitable, even if you like them, even if you fancy them. If you don't reject them, you're going to feel guilty for getting into a relationship with somebody who you know isn't your soulmate. And you're probably, if you keep asking yourself, will I ever find my soulmate? Will I ever find my soulmate? Is this the one? You're going to be prone to depression and despair because you're spending all your time searching for someone that you know you might never find, but you've decided is essential to your happiness or your well-being or your feeling complete. Now, notice how different that is than if your search to find a partner was fueled by the question, who would I love to share my life with today? So just ask yourself that question a few times. Who would I love to share my life with today? Who would I love to share my life with today? Who would I love to share my life with today? Well, there's some assumptions there, too, that your life is something that you get to share with others and that you have some degree of choice over who you share it with and that there are people out there who you would love to share it with. And probably if you go about finding a partner by asking yourself, who would I love to share my life with today? Who would I love to share my life with today? Probably you're going to be proactively looking for people to share your life with, and consequently, you're probably going to find them. You're not going to be limited to sharing your life with any one person, though you may choose to limit who you share your body with. And you're also going to share your life with different people on different days. Even if you choose to share it with a small group of people, like your family or your friends, on a consistent or even daily basis. Now, that's not like the only question that you can ask, but just notice what a different experience you can give yourself just by changing the question. So we're talking about questions to live by. If you want to get in and talk about the questions that you live by in your own life or just any way that you can have more of what you want, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And in the meantime, what I want to talk about is I want to look at what are the questions that you ask yourself. Let's take it in another area. Let's look at the questions that you ask yourself in your business or in the pursuit of making money. You know, one of the most useful questions that I ever saw in a business context is there was an interview done with the guy who ran Southwest Airlines, Herb Kelleher. And he said to this interviewer, he said, do you know, anyone could run this company. I could teach anyone to run Southwest Airlines. Keep in mind, this was one of the most successful airlines in America. I can teach anyone to run this airlines in less than a minute. And the interviewer went, okay, how do you do that? And he said, all you need to do is ask yourself one question. Will this make us the low-cost airlines in the United States? And he said, it doesn't matter what the business decision is. All you got to do is ask that one question. So if somebody comes and says, you know, we've done a poll and our customers would love to be able to have nicer meals on the flights, just ask yourself, will this help make us the low-cost airline in the United States? And if the answer is no, you're not interested. And if the answer is maybe, you find out more. And if the answer is yes, do it. And because he had created such a clear question to evaluate his business decisions by, running the business became very easy. And the same again, it's true in any area of your life. Another question that I find really useful in running my own business, I actually used to have this as a screensaver on my computer for years, is antelopes or mice? I'll tell you where it comes from, is that I read this book once called Buck Up, Suck Up, and Come Back When You Foul Up. And it's by James Carville and Paul Begalia, I think. And the author shared an analogy, which actually came from Newt Gingrich, they weren't the biggest fans of him, but they loved this bit. Imagine a lion searching for food on the African savannah. If the lion goes after a field mouse, he's going to use up more energy in that pursuit than he's going to get back if he actually catches and eats the mouse. Now, if that lion goes after an antelope, even if he expends a lot more energy in the hunt, he's going to be able to live well off the fruits of his success for weeks to come. So the question that you can ask yourself in your business, and this is like a virtual question you can try on in your own business, in your own work, is, am I spending my day hunting antelope or chasing field mice? In other words, am I spending my day on things that are really going to bring me great rewards if I can catch them, if I can make them happen? Or am I spending my time chasing things that even if I get them, aren't really going to be that fulfilling, aren't really going to be that worthwhile? In that sense, a diet of antelope is going to lead you to a happy, healthy, successful life. And a diet of field mice might well, even if you catch them, it might well lead you to the premature demise of your business career or project. So think about for yourself, what are some questions that I can ask myself that would make my career more successful? So, for example, in your career, it would make my business more successful. So in your career, you might want to ask yourself things like, how can I contribute more here? You know, a lot of people go into any situation to do with money, and the first thing they go is either, how can I make more money? Or why aren't I making more money? And again, the problem with any why question is that really the answer is because. You know, you can make up different reasons, but essentially, why this? Because. And whatever reason you make up, that's where you're going to go looking for your solution. So, with one exception that I'll talk about later in the show, why questions generally just get you into a spin. But if you look at a how question, like how can I make more money? Or when it comes to do with your career, an even better question is, how can I create more perceived value? That to me is really one of the best questions you can ask yourself in terms of exploring your career, because the more value that you're perceived to create, the more people are going to be willing to pay you for it. The opposite of that is an analogy Earl Nightingale used to give on a show, and he would say, you know, the way most people look for money is they stand in front of an empty fireplace and they say to the fireplace, you give me more heat and I'll give you more wood. And that's what happens if you're at work and you're thinking, all right, you pay me more and I'll work harder. Well, that's a nice idea, but things just tend not to work that way. The way that it really works is, no, you put the fuel in, you put more wood on, you add more value, and people will give you more heat. They'll give you more of what you want. They're going to be more willing to to reward you for doing that. So think about, again, in the area of career, what are some questions that you could ask yourself that are going to lead to greater success in your career than whatever questions you have been asking yourself? We're going to go to the phones. Let's go to Lori in Texas. Lori, welcome to the show.
Figure out is, I'm trying to figure out how I can motivate my board.
Okay.
And what happens is that you've got a lot of board members that really don't understand their role. And they're my bosses. So it's very difficult situation.
So Lori, if you think in terms of the questions you've been asking yourself to try and work this out, what kind of things have you been asking yourself to try and figure out what best to do?
Well, I think I've just gotten to the point of frustration.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
And I guess that I need to get back and need to get centered on just asking myself, you know, how we're going to be. I think what I've been doing is it's kind of like just pounding my head on the wall as to why don't things change, right? I mean, I need to start focusing more on
brilliant. You know what, Lori, we're coming up on a break. Can you hang out over the break?
Oh, sure.
Fantastic. Okay, so I just want you to notice the question that you just brought up there, which is, I just lost it, but it was something about, why isn't this working or something like that. And just begin to brainstorm questions, and we're going to talk about them after the break. Numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579. You're listening to You Can Have What You Want. I'm Michael Neal. I'll talk to you soon.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back, indeed. We're talking about questions we live by, and the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. And right now we're talking to Lori in Texas. Lori, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
So thinking about it, what sort of questions have you been asking yourself, and what results have asking those questions been getting you? In other words, in relation to sort of trying to sort this all out.
I think what's been hard for me that it, because we're so shorthanded at work, I really, as I stated earlier, haven't really, I guess, been focused on that. And it sounds like, I should be. It's kind of sorting things out, as you said.
So, let me ask actually a different question then. What would you love to happen in this area? What would be, if I've got my magic wand out, if I was going to wave my magic wand, what would you want me to wave it and make happen?
Well, I'd like for these board members to be able to recruit other board members that have those contacts in the community. And, that's so important for a nonprofit agency, especially when it comes to fundraising and raising money. And that way we're able to offer more to those that we serve.
Okay, now if you could get those contacts in the community without necessarily them coming through the board members, would that be okay too?
It probably would. Yes.
So again, what I'm wondering is often we get stuck thinking that there is a way to get what we want.
Yes.
When sometimes if you just focus on the actual end result that you want to create, you start finding that it can come in a lot of different ways. So just paint me a picture. It's, it's 3 months from now, and things have gone brilliantly, better than you could have expected.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you've called back into the show to say, wow, Mike, 3 months ago when I spoke to you, I was struggling a bit with the board, and I was hoping we could make more contacts in the community, and now things are going great. Tell me a little bit about what's different now.
Okay, what's different? We're moving up in 3 months. Well, our board has been able to make those contacts, and I have even made contacts in the community. And we've got, a good, strong board, and they're already starting to plan a fundraiser that we need to have at least annually.
Mm-hmm.
And this board is they're advocates for the community and telling others about what we're doing and the services that we're providing. And this is the type of board that really is a working board.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got different committees, and they're working on different projects. And that would be my ideal scenario.
So, and what do you think, staying in our little future here, our happy future, What do you think, what was the biggest shift in the last 3 months that led to things being the way that they are now?
The biggest shift?
Yeah, since when you first called my show back in February.
Oh, okay.
Stay with me here.
Probably in focusing more on the end result.
Okay, and what specifically for you was the difference that made the difference? What made it easy and almost fun for you to make that shift?
Well, I think personally it was more of, instead of just focusing on the problem, you know, focusing more on the solution, on how, you know, we can bring on and identifying different people in the community that would be good candidates to ask.
Okay.
And therefore helping the board, you know, that we had at that time, and giving them that help, to bring others on.
So here's a sort of a task I'm going to suggest to you that you might want to play with your board.
Okay.
And that would be to sit down with them and to set up a little brainstorming session.
Mm-hmm.
And to come up with some really great questions to brainstorm, or almost to question storm. Like, you know, okay, what are at least 30 ways that we could make more contacts in the community?
Oh, all right.
What are 100 ideas, even if they're terrible, for how we could raise our visibility?
Okay.
You know, and just, if you get them involved in the brainstorming and the question storming, then suddenly they can't help but get more involved. That's the wonderful thing about questions, is they so guide our focus and our thinking.
Yes.
That if you keep asking the right questions, sooner or later the answers begin to come. And
okay.
Rather than you trying to work it out, like, how can I motivate the board? How can I get the board involved?
Exactly.
Actually get the board involved in answering the questions that you ultimately want answered.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Fantastic. And please do call back, and you don't have to wait 3 months, but you can, and let me know how it goes.
Oh, I will, Michael, and I really do appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. If you want to get in on the show, the number's to call toll-free 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. You know, there's another kind of question that I love, and it's what I call the Gandhi question. And it came from, there's a story that a journalist was once pursuing Gandhi through a train station to try to get an interview, and Gandhi kept saying, no, I'm not doing interviews. And finally, as the train was pulling out of the station, the reporter chasing after the train called out, "Please give me your message for the people." And Gandhi shouted back, "My life is my message." And when I first heard that story, I was struck by a question. If my life was my message, what would the message be? And I tried on a bunch of, like, noble-sounding ideas, like, if my life was my message, the message would be help yourself by helping others, or the message would be joy is the pathway to success. But nothing really quite felt right. And then I decided to actually get honest with myself and look not at what I would have liked the message to be, but what it really was. And after some uncomfortable soul-searching, it became clear that the message that my life at the time was giving out was set really big goals and then sort of half-ass your way towards achieving them and blame everybody but yourself so you don't have to feel bad when you fail. And while that was a little discouraging to realize, it was also very liberating, because I sort of realized that, you know, it's not enough to, the Quakers have this great expression, let your life speak. It had never occurred to me that you also need to put some real thought into what it is you'd like your life to say. So go ahead and do this. Ask yourself the Gandhi question. If your life was your message, what would the message be? And again, this isn't yet what would you like the message to be, or what would be an impressive message. It's, you know, what would the message be right now? And I mean, here's some things that some of my clients have come up with. Do unto others as much as you can get away with. It's never too late to blame someone else for your life. Make resolutions and never follow through on them, then hate yourself for it. Again, the trick here is to resist the impulse to reject the real message in favor of a positive one. Because the more you're willing to take ownership of the real message that your life is giving out right now, the easier it's going to be to make changes in your life. So once you've done that, The next thing you can do is ask yourself, what would you like the message of your life to be? In other words, what message would you like people to take away from experiencing your presence and being a part of your time here on earth? So again, here's some answers from my clients. Always do your best, and your best will always get better. The question is irrelevant. Love is the answer. And one of my favorites, which is actually, I found out later, was a quote from Barry Neil Kaufman, all dreams appear impossible until someone makes them happen. So when you figured out what your answer to the question, your honest answer to the question, if my life was my message, what would the message be, is, and you've begun to ask yourself, okay, what would I like the message of my life to be? The next thing you can do is brainstorm any changes you'd need to make to bring your life in line with the new message. So if, for example, my client whose new message was always do your best and your best will always get better, well, the changes that they realized they'd need to make is that they need to actually seek to do their best, even when part of them wanted to just get away with it. They need to focus on continual improvement, particularly in their relationships, and they need to choose to participate fully in everything they did. And then the last step, when you've done that, you've asked yourself, okay, if my life was my message, what would the message be? You've asked, what would I like the message of my life to be? What changes would I need to make to bring my life into alignment with this new message? And then finally, what's something I can do, an action I can take in the next 24 hours to make it real? So, for example, when the client who had the question is irrelevant, love is the answer, decided that she needed to focus more on her heart than her head, to not spend so much time trying to figure everything out, and that when in doubt, she was just going to love it. And the grounding action she chose was, while she was sitting in traffic on the way home from work, she silently sent loving energy to every car and driver that she could see on the freeway. So how you go through that is going to be unique to you, but it's a wonderful exercise to take yourself through. I'll be taking calls again in the final section of the show. The numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. From outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And if you enjoy the kinds of things that I'm talking about here, I've got free daily tips on my website at www.geniuscatalyst.com. I'll see you after the break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking about the questions that we live by and really what it means to live the questions in different areas of your life. And if you want to get in and talk about the questions and find some answers in your own life about having more of what you want to do with health or money or relationships or career, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. I want to tell you a little story that I first read in a book called Five Star Mind by Tom Wujek. And so there was a Rembrandt painting called The Night Watch, and it was restored and returned to one of the big art museums in Amsterdam. And the curators performed a little experiment, and what they did is they asked visitors to submit questions about the painting, and then they prepared answers to over 50 questions according to how often that question was asked. And so what they did in a room next to the gallery which held the painting, the curators papered the walls with the questions and answers, and so visitors had to actually pass through the room before entering the gallery. And what was interesting, and it wasn't, they didn't know this would happen, was that the average length of time that people spent viewing the painting increased from 6 minutes to over half an hour. And what visitors would do is they'd alternate between reading the questions and answers and examining the painting. And they said that the questions just encouraged them to look longer and look closer and to remember more, and that the questions helped them to create richer ideas about the painting and to see the painting in new ways. So in a way, like one would think about it, is like magnets. The questions act as magnets, and they attract, or in that case, they attracted the visitor's thoughts to new ideas. Now, there's a sort of a formal version of that process that I use from time to time called question storming. And again, I first came across the idea of question storming in a book called To Do, Doing, Done by Joyce Wyckoff. And here's how it works. So you can try this out for yourself. So just choose a project that you're working on, and this can be a work project or a personal life project. And to give you an example, I'll use the example of creating a website. And then for 3 minutes, what you're going to do is you're going to question storm, just like brainstorming. But you're going to take 3 minutes and actually time yourself to think of as many questions as you can relating to the project. And write down every question, not just the good ones, because you don't know what a good one is yet. So, for example, with our website example, you might write down things like, what will it cost? Why do this at all? Is there another way to reach my target audience? Why am I wasting my time with this? What's the point? If I'm successful, how much time will be taken up in administering it? How can I guarantee success? Just as many questions as you can think of in your 3 minutes. And then after you've done that, go back through your list and circle any questions that strike you as particularly important or curious or relevant. So, for example, is there another way to reach my target audience? Okay, well, that's interesting. Let me explore that a bit. If I'm successful, how much of my time will be taken up in administering it? But here's the trick. Instead of answering the questions immediately, incubate. Don't do anything with the questions for at least the rest of the day after you do that first process. So you can choose a time where you're going to return to the questions. You can actually mark it in your diary and go, okay, I'm going to get back to these questions in... And my suggestion would be at least 24 hours and less than 72 hours. So in the next 1 to 3 days. And what's going to happen is because you've been living with those questions, you're going to find much deeper and more inspired answers start to come. And then, of course, when the time comes, you're going to go back and answer each of the questions that you've chosen as your significant questions to the best of your ability, and then take action on your answers as appropriate. Now, I've taught this process to a number of clients over the years, and the two most common questions are, why do I have to wait 48 hours or 24 hours or what that incubation period, and how do I use the process in groups? So the reason for the incubation period is it prevents the potential embarrassment of premature articulation. So there's a psychologist, Guy Claxton, who's written a great book called Hare Brain, Tortoise Mind, among others. And he points out that because conscious thinking uses a different bit of your brain architecture, it literally uses physically a different bit of the brain than unconscious learning, thinking about something, like, well, let me think this through, let me work this out, it actually can often impede learning because you're using that front bit of your brain instead of the bit of your brain where all the unconscious information is. And so when you leave your brain time to sort of mull things over, it actually activates a deeper and more permanent part of your intelligence. And in terms of using the process in groups, absolutely. And in fact, I talked to Lori about this earlier in the show. And the most important thing to remember is just to keep the stages separate. In other words, when you're brainstorming the questions, you can't assess them. You've got to leave that till later. And also, when you're incubating, don't answer the questions. Now, you know, obviously, if you accidentally come up with a brilliant answer to one of your questions during the incubation period, you can forgive yourself and you can move right on to implementing it. So, let me just see. I've got a few more things I want to run by in terms of questions. There's a great Winston Churchill quote. Most people stumble across a great idea at some point in their lives, but they stand up, dust themselves off, and carry on as if nothing happened. And I know that for me, you know, often my best ideas come at the most inopportune times, and so they don't always stick unless I create some sort of a touchstone for them. And the best touchstone that I've found is to actually create a question that's going to remind me of this insight. And I'll give you some examples. So one question that I absolutely love to ask myself is, do I really want to? Because if I don't think about it consciously, I tend to flip back into, what should I do? Is this the best thing to do? Should I do this? Whereas if I remind myself, do I really want to? It's like, oh yeah, that's actually a great question. You know, what would I love to do right now? That's another question that I mentioned earlier in the show. How would I love to be today? How would I love to be in relation to my work? Would I love to be happy and peaceful and inspired? Or, you know, would I love to be miserable and pissed off and depressed? What would I love to have in my life that I don't already have? What would I love to have more of? And again, if you design yourself these great touchstone questions, reminder questions, you can really spend more and more of your time living in these positive questions that lead to really positive answers in your life. There's, I said at the beginning there was one question that I was going to talk about at the end, and it's the question, why me? And in the context of what we've been talking about, why me probably sounds like it's not a great question. But I got an insight into it once. We were traveling. I'd been teaching a coaching workshop in La Paz in Mexico, and I brought the family down with, because we were staying at this lovely, lovely retreat. And on the way home, we got to the airport, and I had, I have three children, but at this point they were really young. My daughter, Clara was six, I had the baby, and my son was, I guess he would have been nine. And they'd been screaming for a lot of the flight. And I'm sure, in fact, during the flight, a lot of people were going, why me? Why am I sitting next to these people? And at one point, I just totally lost it. And, you know, Clara was nipping at my heels, and, you know, I think I actually responded to her request, with the words, I'm not going to do it and you can't make me. But I did, you know, I took a deep breath. I recognized, you know, my reaction was about. So, well, I think we're actually come to the end of the show, so thank you very much for listening. Do listen to the archives on HayHouseRadio.com. It's also a podcast, and next week we're going to be talking about shifting gears for success. Thanks for listening.